missing a piece? P-E-A-C-E. Are you missing a piece? And that's where we're going to go today and the next couple weeks, because I believe what ails all of us is that when we look at the circumstances going on around us, we tend to think, like all of us, that everything is bad. That a lot of things are, you know, I didn't get to do this for Thanksgiving, and we didn't get to have our family vacation like we thought we were going to. We didn't all get together for a big group, and we didn't get to do this thing or that thing for Christmas or for birthdays. And so all we tend to do is we tend to look at the negative, and we look at the things that happen around us, and we forget all the blessings that God has had for us, in store for us, and the relationship that he wants us to have. He doesn't want us to miss those times. So today I wonder if you had one wish for anything you could have, what would that wish be for? What would that wish? I want you to think about that. And some of you would go, well, you know, I want some more money. Some of you might say, oh, I'd like to be a little bit more friends maybe. Some of you might say, oh, well, I'd like to be able to do something else. I'd like to maybe have more wishes. No, that's not possible. But if you had one wish, what would that wish be? I believe that if people really thought about it, one of the wishes that most of us would really wish for was to have peace, a real peace. Because most of us, we are in such turmoil, we don't even realize it. We are so tied to our devices. We are so tied to our lives of finding out information. We're so tied to all the things, the music we listen to, the games we play, the things that we use to get by through the day, that we often miss that peace that God talks about in the Bible. And so today, that's what I want to talk about, is are you missing that peace? And if you are missing that peace, how do you get that peace back? How do you get that peace in your life? I want to show you something from the Old Testament today and something from the New Testament that is really, really special to me. And I want to share both of those passages of Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, go on and get them out. We're going to turn to them in just a minute. But the first passage I don't really want to turn to, because it's the Christmas passage where the angels are out in the field, and they say they're meeting the shepherds, and it's the Christmas scene that most of you know. And they say, the angels said this. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth." And we take that with a grain of salt around Christmas time, because we've heard it. We've heard it in nativity stories. We've heard it in plays. We've heard that a lot. What is peace on earth? Does that mean that we shouldn't be fighting Russia? Does that mean that we shouldn't be fighting in the different wars that we're having? Is that what that's talking about? I don't believe that's what it's talking about at all. I believe it's about an inner peace that passes all understanding, an inner peace that allows men and women like you and me and kids and teenagers to have a really cruddy, cruddy day, a really cruddy, cruddy life, and to be able to say with a certainty that God has your back and that you're going to get through it no matter what, that he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for us. What's interesting to think about when we talk about this peace on earth, Jesus would talk to people and he would greet them and as he was coming or going, and he would always, there was this word, this phrase that they used, and this phrase was, "Peace be with you." Or something even traumatic would happen. They would say, "Go in peace, go in peace." So peace was always talked about in the old days of the Bible. When you think about the Apostle Paul, often in his writings, he would start a letter and he would say, "Grace and peace be with you." Always he was covering the people that he was talking to. "I want you to know that I'll give you grace and I pray peace for you." Why was that such a big deal? Think about the other options that he could have said, or that they could have said in the Old Testament. They could have said, I want to wish you grace and that you're popular with all the people that you meet, that you have much favor. Or they could have said that we wish you grace and power, that everybody that sees you to know that you have great power. Or grace and riches. I wish that you have grace, riches. But he didn't say that. What he did say was, grace and peace I bestow. Grace and peace I pray on you. Grace and peace I want for your life more than anything else. And so I ask you today, do you have a missing piece? Have you looked at your peace lately? Have you felt that peace that has calmed you, that has taken this tumultuous time that we live in and turned it into something that it should never be, but it is? I would submit to you that what people really, really want, if they could envision it, if they could get their minds around it, they would say, I want peace. Why do so many of us never want any kind of quiet? Why do we always have the radio playing? Because we don't want to think. Why does when you lay your head down at night, you can't go to sleep? And you go, what? I can't stop thinking about this. Or I can't stop thinking about that. It's because oftentimes we're missing that peace that comes from God. I would argue that most people really, really want peace. You can say what you want, but I believe if they had it, and if you've had that peace that comes from God, you understand what I'm talking about. You understand that peace from God has no, you can't put a value on it. You can't put it any kind of monetary value on it. We all want peace. We all want harmony. We all want understanding. We want to be able to have that. But when we look at our lives, our life, it's so opposite of that. There is very little peace. If you got your Bibles, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah. It's going to come up on the screen too. Isaiah 26. And we'll look at verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4. Isaiah 26, 1 through 4. An Old Testament study on peace. It says this. In that day, everyone in the land of Judea will sing this song. Our city is strong. We're surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. Then he says in verse 3, if you skip down, he said, you will keep in perfect peace. You will keep in perfect peace. He said, it's a trust. It is a perfect peace to all those who trust in the Lord, all those who are fixed, F-I-X-E-D, to all those who are fixed on him. Are you fixed on the Lord this morning, or are you fixed on your bank account? Are you fixed this morning on Jesus and his love and righteousness, or are you fixed on the issues and the circumstances that are going on around you? And then he goes on and he says, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is our eternal rock. I love this promise, church. Isn't it a great promise? I want this promise. I need this promise. But I'm way more familiar with imperfect peace, inconsistent peace, than a perfect peace. And I suspect most of you are too. Most of you struggle with a perfect peace. The word peace in the Old Testament comes from a really rich Hebrew word. It's the word, you've heard it before, shalom. Everybody say that with me, shalom. If you're at home, say shalom. Shalom. And this word means way more than peace, but that's what they meant when they said it. It means wholeness. It means that it's completeness. It's the fullness and peace of every way that's possible, so that you're looking at a tidal wave in the face and you're able to say, God's got this. God's got this. The word shalom appears twice in the original text. It says shalom, shalom. Why would it say that? Because it's a double peace. You have a double peace with Christ's peace. It's a peace with yourself. It is peace with other people. It is peace with God. Knowing no matter how hard you or how bad you've screwed up, you have a peace with God. No matter how bad you have made your financial health, no matter how many bad choices you've made, you can have a peace with Christ, a double portion of peace. God wants to give you today a double portion of his peace. It's yours for the asking. It's yours for the accepting. Now, I want to be pretty clear here when we look at this. It doesn't mean that you won't have trouble in the world when you have peace. Jesus was really, really clear about that. If you look at John 16:33, he said, in this world, church, in this world, Jeff, in this world, Rick, in this world, Brandy, you will have trouble. Lots and lots of trouble. You understand that? You're going to have trouble. You know that. Yes. You say, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that. But we need to understand that peace isn't found in the absence of our troubles. It's not found because we don't have trouble. But peace is found only in the presence of God. Peace only comes when you spend time with God. And the problem that most of us have, and the problem that this last year has created for some of us, is that we got lots of time on our hands. And we sit around and we think, and we're in a lot of other presence, but the presence that we should be in is the presence of God. And that's where that double peace comes from. Some of you have had some horrible things. Parents have died. Some of you have had expectations of something happening in your life, and it didn't happen, and it hasn't happened yet. God wants you to know today that you can have a double portion of that peace. It is yours for the asking. I want to show you in Scripture what the Bible talks about time and time again, that there's a battle for the mind. We've talked about this from here many, many times, and we forget about it just as soon as we talk about it. Our mind is where everything gets all squished up into jello, and it just walks around in there. And pretty soon we're at war with ourselves. We're at war with our thoughts. We're at war with everybody else. Look what they got for Christmas. Look what they're doing. Their house is great. My house is a dump. Look, they got a great car. They drive. Look, and then we're all at war within ourselves, with ourselves, and we're not winning that war. There's two versions that I looked at this passage in Isaiah 26, 1 and 3. The first one was the New Living Translation. Listen to what it says. And I want to show you these two different versions because both of them have a great impact on our discussion this morning. The first one is this, the New Living Translation, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on you, God. That is a promise. That is a promise. He will keep you in a perfect peace. Condition, if you are fixed on God. The problem is I get unfixed on God, don't we? I get unfixed on God. And it takes nothing for me to get off being fixed on the Lord. He doesn't say you'll have perfect peace if you watch the news for what's going on, CNN or Fox, whichever company that you sit and watch. He doesn't say that you'll have perfect peace if your bank account is a certain number. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that you'll have perfect peace in 2021. He doesn't say that there's not going to be a bunch of bad junk happen in 2021, just like 2020. We're all praying for a great new year. We're all hoping for a new year that's not like 2020. But we don't know. We don't know. But he does say, if you fix your eyes on the Lord, you will have a perfect peace. Focused on the truth. Because the lies that are told in our mind that get planted there by the stuff that we see all day long, if you have this, you'll have that. No. By the devil who tells us we're not good enough, who tells us we're not kind enough, we're not good enough, we can't do that, we can't serve God because of something that happened in our past. Hebrew word fixed. It's another word that kind of came to my study this week, and it's going to come up on the screen. It's the word samak. Samak. This word means to lean on completely. That's what it means when we're talking about to be fixed. To lean on to the point where if it's not there, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall. You're going to fall. You're going to fall hard. And that's where some of us are. We've been leaning on things that are not fixed, not the samak. We've not been leaning on that. We allow things to get us through the day that were never meant to get us through the day. Not just one glass of wine, maybe five glasses. Not just one beer, maybe a bunch of beer. Not just one pill, maybe a bunch of pills. Not just, see what we do is we lean on things that have no foundation. He asks us to be samacht on him, to be so much that it's a complete, complete leaning on who he is. So my question for you this morning is, I always have a question for you. What's your mind fixed on? What's your mind fixed on? Now let's talk about that for a minute, like for real. I mean, I want you to be really honest, not with me, but be honest with yourself. Be honest with God for just a second. Here's what I'm talking about. What does your mind drift to when you got a few minutes to think? What is it your mind drifts to? Okay. What consumes your mind? What is always on your mind? Some of you might say, well, it's your financial worries. Or some of you might say it's the political division that's in our country today where you can't speak a truth without getting shouted down, or yet you can't do this or you can't do that. Or it might be the COVID fears consuming your mind. Maybe your mind is consumed with what's going to happen in 2021. And I would say to you today, if it is, you are fixed. You are samak on the wrong thing. You are samak on the wrong thing. To be kept in perfect peace, those whose minds are fixed on the Lord God Most High. I want you to think about that today. I'm going slow and I'm going low today because I want you to understand how great of a message, not because I'm bringing it, but how great of a message this is for the church today. If you are not firmly planted and leaning on God, you have a wrong, wrong foundation. Philippians 4, 8, and 9, a verse that most of you could quote in here, says this: fix your thoughts on what is true, on what is honorable, on what is right, pure, lovely. Fix your mind on those things. Now let me ask you, Have you been doing that? Think about those things that are excellent. Think about those things that are worthy. It has been so easy this past year to get fixed on the crud, hasn't it? It consumes us. Because we didn't have a live Christmas Eve. There's 50 people and 40 people in church today, and there's normally 150. All those things bug at me all the time. Those are the things that I'm like, where are our people? And I know what's going on. But it's still easy to smock on the wrong things. So easy. When your mind and your eyes are fixed on Him, you are able to tell yourself, God is good, like Dave always says. God is good. He's always good. There's nothing gooder than our God. Nothing gooder. There isn't. His promises are true. His word never fails. When God is that person when I'm lost in the morning, and He's my guide, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I told my family this was going to happen, and it's not happening, and I don't know. God is my guide. When I'm weak, He's my strength. When I'm hurting, He's my comforter. But I need my husband. I need my wife. I need them to assure me. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But I'm telling you what, you're leaning on something that's not. It's not always going to be the same. Because you ever woke up in the morning and your husband says one thing, and by the end of the day he says another thing? Or does another thing? Or your wife, and you're going, I don't understand them. You lean on the wrong things first. Lean on Him. Yes, God wants your wife to be there for you. Yes, God wants your husband to be a support for you, but not the support. If you've done that in your life and you've tried to get your schmuck of a husband to step up and to be who he should be, you've found by now, ask my wife, it doesn't always happen. Doesn't always happen, and rarely does it happen. But if I'm firmly planted on Him, I see progress. I see growth. I see those things that I don't normally see. John 14:27 says this, peace I leave with you. And then he says something I don't want you to miss. He says this, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. And because I give you my peace, do not let your hearts be troubled or be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Jesus says, my peace I give to you, baby. My peace, not the world's peace, His peace, a perfect peace that never fails. A perfect peace. It allows you to be able to stand at the casket and to go, He's got this. A perfect peace that stands at the crossroads of whatever it is you're going through. That peace is yours. He's giving you His peace. See, it's not the absence of problems. It's not the absence of turmoil. It's not any of those things is peace, because that's what we think. We think if I just get through this thing, if I get that car paid off, if I get this house done, if I get that thing, if I get this job, and we get there and there's still no freaking peace. It has run away from me, and it continues to run. There's a very powerful story in the New Testament. I don't want to go into it in too much because I've talked about it before. But it's a story where they're in the ship, and there's a great storm all around them. And the disciples who have spent time with Jesus, who have seen Him heal the lame, have seen Him take blind people and make them unblind. He has done all these things. They've seen all that. And they're in the middle of this storm. And Jesus is doing what? He's sleeping. And they have to go. They have to wake him up. They have to go wake him up. Storm is raging on the outside. But there's also a storm on their inside. Because they're not just worried about the storm that's around. They're going, Where's Jesus? Can I trust him? Can I really trust him? There's the thunder, there's the lightning, there's the wind, the waves. And Jesus probably comes out on the deck, probably yawns. Peace be still. Waves, perfect. Perfectly flat. Disciples go, what are we even worried about? Why would we fret? Because he commands the wind and the waves. But yet, when I don't get my way, or I don't get the thing I thought I was going to get, or it doesn't happen with this person, like I get all bent out of shape, and my peace goes to pot. Peace goes to pot. I need to be real dead honest with you. Just like you, most days I start out really well. The peace is there, but the circumstances get me. Can you say that same thing? The circumstances get you. But I found this year particularly that the word is so true, that the word is so faithful, that the word is so right when it says, just press into me. And I'll give you a perfect peace. Some of the time that I had this year, instead of doing things, I pressed into God. And when I found that happened, and I found that on some days, I had a lot of peace. Not every day. But a lot of days I did. A lot more than I did before. You know, we look at our day, and we can get so off rail by one thing that happens. We're late for work. Something, the car doesn't start, and all of a sudden our life is like, our life's in the dumpster. You know, it's in a bad place. And so what the Bible tells us to do, church, and we've talked about it till we're blue in the face, the Bible says when those thoughts come in into my mind, the thing, that only part that I have to do is I have to take a lasso, and I have to capture those thoughts, and I have to bring them down. And I don't have to solve them. I give them to God. I say, God, you solve them. I capture them. I capture those thoughts, and I let him deal with them. Because if I deal with them, what I do is I muck it up, and it's all bad. And everything that I do turns sour. And every place I go and everywhere, people are just a bunch of scoundrels, and they're just out for, you know, and then they're just mean. And where did that come from? That came from my mind. I have to be able to quote back to the devil when those thoughts come in. No, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's why I have to know the word. We're going to talk about this next week, and I'm going to bring in a plan. If you don't got a plan for getting the word into you, you need a plan. You need a daily plan to get some word. I'm not talking about chapters. I'm not talking about reading through the book of the Bible this next year, because you get bogged down by that, usually about the end of Genesis. Ain't going to happen this year again, I guess. Okay, take one verse and make it a part of your life. We're going to talk about that. God's going to bless me. That's my thoughts. God's going to get me through this. God knows what's going to happen on the other end of this. And I capture my thoughts. And what do? I replace them with truth. With truth. Because, see, if I replace them with lies, then what's that get? More lies. More lies. And more lies. So if you're going through a loss today, if you're going through a hurt today, if you're going through a pain today, if you got some fear today, I pray the words for Philippians over your life, 4:6-7. I pray that they will minister to you, where Paul said, do not be anxious about anything. Whatever it is that's bogging you down, whatever it is that's weighing you down, whatever it is that's got you dragging, don't be anxious about that. But in every situation, when the bank account's high, when the bank account's low, when your marriage is on a high, when your marriage is falling apart, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving and real praise, you present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, there is no reason in the world you should have peace right now. This world should be shooting each other. This world should be mad at each other. This world should be tearing itself apart. And it is. And the church has the weapons to not do that anymore. To not participate in that foolishness. You have that capability in you. It's the peace of God. It's the peace of God. One more time, it's the peace of God that gets you through. Peace isn't the absence of heartache. It's not the absence of loss. It's not being void of disappointment. It is the presence of God, period. And so I tell you today, do everything you can to get yourself in the presence of God, because where God is, guess what's there? Peace. Peace. That transcends all understanding. All understanding. Cares for you. He is with you now. And maybe the word for you today that you need to hear is that there's going to be peace on earth. And where does that peace come from? Not from nations. It comes in you. It starts in you. Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is here with you now. Wherever you are, he's with you. But ask the band to come as I pray. Father God, it is so humbling to hear your word today, to know what we've made life, to know that we've made life into something where every circumstance triggers us, and they trigger us in a wrong way. And when that trigger comes, God, we don't have peace, and we are being robbed. We are missing a peace that you promised, and it is not that you didn't give it. It is that we haven't taken it. It is that we haven't accepted it. It is that we have not been in your presence. So, Father, today we want that shalom, that peace of God. We want that double portion. God, help us to smack on you. Help us to, that firm, firm foundation to rely on you, not on ourselves, not on our situation, not on anything within us. May God's peace that passes all understanding peek its way into our life this morning. In Jesus' name I pray.